All right, as they head on out, I'm going to start with who's excited for this new year? Who's excited for this new year, right? We're excited for 2025. Who's been watching the news? Who's been watching the news? All right? California's on fire, right? If you scroll through social media, you're seeing a lot of devastation in Southern California. I know Pastor and his family went down to Disneyland this couple days ago, and good thing they made it there and back safely. Nothing was on the five, you know, but they could see the smoke. So praise God they made it here safely. All right. We're seeing in the world right now, if you read the book of Revelations, we're seeing truth in action, right? We're seeing truth in action. We're seeing God's word and his promises foretold. Jesus is coming back, right? Jesus is coming back. But the way I start my sermon is not for us to say, hey, this is not going to be a you better repent, brimstone and fire, repent or you're going to hell type of message. But it is going to start off that, hey, you know what? Before any of us were here in a pew in church, we all had a prodigal moment. We all had a prodigal moment where, you know, some more drastic than others, right? Whether we were spoiled and we went off and thought we were entitled, as my story started itself. You know, I could give you a story of when I was getting out of high school, my senior year of high school. I've shared this many of times. I was trying to make it to Fresno State to be another Steven Abbas, my favorite wrestler in collegiate status. You know, I had the skills. I had the basic knowledge of wrestling. And I thought, hey, you know what? I could be that next Olympian. What happened most is what happened with Fresno State back then is, guess what? They canceled the wrestling program. And then my hurt, my lack of desire to seek anything else or stay the path of Christ and all my devastation, I got angry and I joined the military. Now you're saying that's not a bad choice. That's not a bad alternative. You joined the military, you got your life on track. But I did it out of spite. I didn't do it because it was my calling. I didn't do it because it was something that I was passionate about. I did it because I was angry and I was throwing a fit. I'll be honest with you. What that led me is, yeah, I did. I moved up. All of it sounds great. But when I got out of the military, I had no foundation. I had no life after. I had no desire to go back to school. I had no desire to restart to work out again. No desire to get back into the wrestling era of my life, even though Fresno State did bring it back and they canceled it once again, briefly. I was too old to do that when they accepted it again. You know, but I didn't know Christ, right? My life had no foundation. My life had no. In my sense, I was being just petty. I was being in my flesh. I was doing what I wanted to do, what I thought was right, and it was my prodigal moment, right? And I'm laying the foundation, and what I'm saying is this: is my life in my mind was not what I wanted, so I was going to do something and prove to the world that I was still valid, but I had no foundation. I had no plan. I had no purpose. So that leads me to, I'm going to start this really, really, really off quick. And I'm going to say our first point is this. When we forget to include God, we can lose sight of the good works he has already done in our lives. Let me back up a little bit. The title of today's sermon is Remember God. But that first point is this. When we forget to include God, we can lose sight of the good works he has already done in our lives. See, God had already blessed me with skills, the work ethic, the everything that I needed to be successful in life, but I did not care. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I was throwing a hissy fit, and I wanted to do whatever I had to do. Whatever I wanted to do didn't matter. So the prodigal, we're going to read out of... We're going to read the parable of the prodigal son, or other translations call it the parable of the lost son. Because that really resonated of how I was acting, right? I was acting. I had it all, and I just wanted to go do whatever I wanted to do. So if you guys would turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 15. We're going to start in Luke chapter 15. But remember, I was gifted. I had this stuff. I had all the skills I needed to be successful, just like the lost son did in Luke. When you guys have reached Luke, say amen. All right, here we go. Let me get there myself. I'm not even there. The Bible reads this. It says, Jesus continued there. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth by wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'm going to stop right there. You see, not long after I left the military, and my mom could attest to this, I had this sense of life of entitlement. And I could tell you, I felt just because I served in the military, the world owed me everything. I too start to live a wild life. And it was a point to where my own parents would tell me, man, don't call me anymore. And, you know, it was hurt. It was there. I remember that pain. But this isn't a parable about how I was lost. Because there's still more. There's going to be some greatness that God was able to do through this parable, right? It was a reminder of what happens when we remember to include God into our lives. Verse 19 continues. Oh, man, my contacts are messing with me. Blink, blink, blink. Who has contacts here? Has nothing to do with the story, but man, mine are really messing with me. Says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with contentment. With compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring your best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. So they began to celebrate. I chose that parable to start with because it wasn't until the famine in my life happened that I realized that I needed more. I got invited to a church. I started realizing after listening to a couple sermons that, you know what, the only way that I'm going to ever get my life back is if I start living a life for Christ. So when I started living a life for Christ, then I started understanding what it was going to take to start to get back in line with Christ. Not forget about the Father anymore. Stop trying to do things my way. Start trying to do things the Father's way. As we look into this new year, right? I started this thing, it's 2025, we're excited for 2025, right? But it wasn't until I understood Christ so that I understood these next few points, okay? So as we start the new year, we all start resolving or having an idea of what we want to change this year. Who here has made a New Year's resolution, right? Who's made a New Year's resolution? Or who's made a plan for the new year? Who's made a decision to say, I'm going to do this year. I'm going to change this about my appearance this year. I'm going to get into the gym this year. Funny story is me, Joey, and Pastor, we started a weight loss challenge at the worst time, like just right after Thanksgiving. So what happens during the holidays, right? We get that food. And at first, we're excited. We jumped into the plans, and we're good. I lost about, 13 pounds right out the gate. But then the holidays happened. The tamales came out. The pozole came out. The you name it came out. My daughter's laughing because she says, her famous saying is, aren't we on a diet? That was that plan, right? So we either want to get in shape, we get more involved in church, or read the Bible in 1 year. Often these resolutions fail because the desire to act doesn't equal the desire to change. You're with me. I'm going to say that one more time. The desire to act doesn't equal the desire to change. I mean, it sounds good to lose weight, but when you actually go to do it, 2026 coming right around the corner, right? Don't look too far. You'll do it then. The lack of knowledge or ability. So who here actually knows what workout plan or what dietary plan or what how to go? We don't have that lack. Some of us don't have that knowledge. We know we need to eat less. We try to eat more greens, but we don't even like vegetables. Right? Or poor planning. Most things fail because we fail to invite God into things we are trying to accomplish. I started this whole thing that I was throwing a hissy fit, and I had my prodigal moment, and I decided, out of impulse, I'm going to join the military. There was never a plan for me to go into the military. It was always a plan for me to wrestle for Fresno State or nothing. I failed to even acknowledge that God existed, even in my wrestling career. It wasn't until, like I said before, it wasn't until I made it to Lifehouse Valley Church, our home church, and started to realize that I needed to have God in my life more often than not. And now that I had Christ, my mindset was, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to make sure I'm doing it in a Christian way. Slightly. Because I'm going to tell you guys another story. I had met Adriana back at Lifehouse. I think I had been going there about a year after I finally realized that I needed Christ, and I started going there more frequently. And after my vacation that I took, or involuntary vacation. So we're dating a few months, and then we decide, hey, you know what? Adriana calls me and says, we have to get married. That's how it happened. We have to get married. We were dating. We decided, I was like, oh, yeah, we loved. And then I would ask her every day, we should get married. She's like, ask me tomorrow. That was her saying. Ask me tomorrow. But it got too much because we were already living in sin. We were starting to stay together and stuff like that. And she said, we have to get married. Because we need to be right before the Lord. And I said, okay. So we went to a life group back then, and we announced that we're going to get married. And yeah, at first it was the cheers of it all. And yeah, you're getting married. And they say, so when do you guys plan on getting married? I think Stephanie's laughing already about this. I said, on Tuesday. Because I had requested a day off. We're going to go to the courthouse. And all of a sudden, Michael's red flag. He goes, bing. Wait. It resonates with me because Michael says, hey, you cannot forget to invite the Lord into what you guys are about to do. You cannot rob your church family who cares about you from actually going through this process with you. Give me 6 weeks. And we'll do a premarital counseling. Let me tell you, the book they gave me was for 6 months. 6 months. We did it in 6 weeks. And I can tell you, Adriana and I learned a lot about each other. We probably wrestled, man, do we really want to do this in those 6 weeks? But at the end of the day, you know what? I knew God's plan because not once. All the way through the wedding, I think Michael or some of the pastors were asking Adriana if she was sure. And then I'm going to tell you another thing is I knew she was the one when instead of the normal dun-dun-dun-dun, the song I heard to her walking out was dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Rocky. You know what I mean? rocky. I was like, man, this is a girl for me. I bet either one thing, she's already an amazing person. She has a sense of humor, or I better watch out because if I mess up, she's going to knock me out. You know? Let me tell you, 6 years later, those punches in the tummy, I shouldn't get as many as I get. Right? But this brings me to my next point, right? When we remember to include God, we discover the pathway to getting started. We discover the pathway to getting started. And I'm telling you, this started out as a prodigal moment, but it's also going to remove in how we can accomplish everything we're wanting to get in out of 2025 and beyond. Is we need to remember to include God to discover a pathway of getting started. It says it starts with the acknowledgement of who God is. Remember, God is our creator. God is our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God is everything. Nothing in this world we can have nothing in this world without God. It starts knowing we start to understand his ultimate sacrifice for our lives. Meaning he sent his son. He loves us enough not only to create us, to send his own son to die on the cross so that we can have an avenue to heaven. Get to salvation. It starts with forgiveness of others and oneself. Meaning we got to forgive ourselves and realize that we are redeemed in Christ. We have already been forgiven as long as we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and he did die on the cross for us, rose up 3 days later, and took all of our sins away. As long as we acknowledge that he is Lord of our lives. And it starts with us building that sturdy foundation. You see, I could say multiple times that, you know what? I have it all figured out. I have it all ready to go. I'm perfect in this world. I could say that, but it's a lie. It's a lie. Because even in my salvation, I could understand that, you know what? Sometimes the days still get hard. There are still some bad moments. There are still things I wish I could still accomplish that maybe I went about the wrong way. But I could say because I have that steady foundation, I could go back and realize that my God is still my Father and I could still go back to him and he can guide me wherever I need to go. See, Jeremiah 29:14 says this, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity, and will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I mean, God will always be there to forgive you. As long as you are ready to repent. As long as you're ready to say, hey, you know what? Uh-uh. This is not the way to go. I need to go back. You have that foundation. You see, every time I was in a wrestling match and I started to lose because I was trying to get ahead of myself, I remember going back to the basics. See, going back to the basics in Christianity is going back to your Father and repenting. Saying, God, I got to die to myself. It's starting with him, starting to remember who your Father is and saying, God, you know what? I'm over my head. I'm over my head in this situation. I got my wife who's in college and right now she's been sick the last couple weeks, or last week, not couple. And I can tell you right now, her desire to probably study for this test that she has to take has been minimal. But you know what she says? She says, I can do it. I'm going to do it. I can tell you, I've woken up at 2:30 in the morning when she probably feels her best, and I've been like, what are you doing? Go to bed. But she's focused on passing this, and we prayed about it, and we continue to pray about it because this is something that she wants for us. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law will be joyful. Meaning we can't go on a wild rant. We can't do things our own way because what's going to happen is we're going to end up in situations that we never even wanted to be in. And then we're not going to give our full effort. The third point is when we remember to include God, we start to develop a relationship with him. When we remember to include God, we start to develop a relationship with him. We develop a friendship with God. We develop our faith in God. It develops a lifestyle with God. In this life, one of my favorite pastors says, one of my wife's favorite pastors, not really mine, but he was one that's part of my my progress in the Lord is this, is Rick Warren says this. He says, in this life, we were never meant to do it alone. We are called to be in fellowship. And being in fellowship is an act of obedience. Meaning when we are in fellowship, in relationship with God, we have the endurance to push forward through any obstacle in our planning. Now, who here has planned everything out all the way to the last detail? You've planned a vacation. You're saying, we're going to go here. We're going to leave at this time. We're going to, you know, we're going to have these clothes already packed. We're going to leave, you know, perfect world says the highways are going to be clear, right? If we're flying, the airports, we're going to get through the airport smoothly. And then you get there on that day, you're ready to go. Bags still aren't packed, right? Kids are running amok, right? You know, you get to the airport, it's packed. Bag check line, you can't get through it. Or there's a lot of traffic, unexpected. You see, stressful times. I can tell Adriana. Adriana has to ask this question to me now every time we want to go somewhere. What time do you want to leave? What time do you want to leave? Because if I don't give her that time, guess what? We're leaving about an hour later. And if there's one thing Michael could attest to this, and he tells me no pasa nada every single time, is when we're behind schedule. But see, when we have that relationship with God, we have the endurance to keep pushing forward. We have someone that can pick us up. And you know what? Honestly, when we have God in our lives and we could sit and pray and we remember his word, we've read everything that we can today, daily. Sorry. We realize that, you know what? God just loves us enough. He just wants to be there. He just wants to be a part of it. There's been a lot of chaotic times where every time something goes wrong and I'm in my tiff, Adriana has to tell me, pray. Did you pray? Did you pray? She grabs my hand sometimes and she just starts praying. Because at the same time, she realizes I'm so caught up in what's going wrong that the only way to bring me down is to pray. Sometimes she grabs my face and says, you need to pray. We have developed the discernment of accountability without crucifixion. So who here has the famous words, I told you so? You should have done this, I told you so. I don't like those words. I say them a lot, if I'm being transparent. God is that person. If we're in relationship with him, he's going to hold us accountable and he's not going to crucify us for it. He's not going to hold it against us. We need to understand when we're in a relationship with God, we are confident enough to do things for his glory. You know, I took on a new responsibility at work, and Michael told me, he's all, if you're going to have this new night position, you're going to have to stay in prayer. And I can tell you, it hasn't been easy going to a night position from a day position. I miss my daughters growing up. Relationship with Adriana, if she can stay up until I get home, I don't expect her to. But I could tell you that it's been easier and smoother than most because I'm able to stay in prayer. And I know she's praying for me. I'm in relationship with God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's a funny story. Is like we're getting ready to go to man camp. Someone was going to bless me to go to man camp the very first time I went to Lifehouse Valley Church. And I was just starting my relationship with God, telling him, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm ready to have this life for you. And not an hour later, I end up arrested and in Fresno County Jail. Right? My free vacation, as I call it. And I prayed this prayer. I said, God, if it's your plan, if it's your will, you'll get me out on my court date on Friday, and I'll be at man camp. It'll be the message I heard. God had other plans for my life. He said, I'm going to leave you here for another 4 months. But it wasn't because he didn't hear my prayer. It's because he had other plans for my life. He said, hey, I need you to really get in tune with what I'm trying to do in your life, so that you can go out there and do what I have plan for the people and use you in a different way. By the grace of God, I was able to build up my skills to talk to other men about who Christ is. And when I got out, he had other plans because I thought I was going to be part of Ben's ministry, and I ended up running the youth for about 4 years. But you see, it, when we're in relationship with God, he's continuously guiding us, continuously allowing us to move forward in who he is and who he called us to be. He continues to reveal himself so that we could be obedient. We remember to include God. We desire to bring others along. That's the fourth point. And I'm moving fast today. Amen. When we remember to include God, we desire to bring others along. You know, it's not by happenstance that I had my best friend growing up here in church. I remember we were working out in his garage, and I asked him, I go, what do you think about Jesus? Or he even asked me, so why, you know, about church and stuff. And he wasn't ready. He said, I started reading my Bible a little bit. I don't quite understand it. I was like, well, come to Bible study. He started to come to Lifehouse, and you know what? Now we're here serving, you know, church together. He helps tear down and stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. To see someone I grew up with since seventh grade in church today is amazing. It shows that I'm not here just doing things just because. I'm here because the Lord used me in a big way to get someone that I love and care deeply for into his pews to hear his message. And now he attends Pastor Michael's community group faithfully. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Who here, we all have a testimony. We all have something that's gone on in our lives that has got us into a pew. We've been invited by someone to sit here. I'm going to get into church today. We have a new relationship. But in that testimony that you're showing in that relationship that you're living with Christ, you rely on him to guide you in your life. Others are witnessing. Others are seeing what's going on in your life, and they're saying that you know what? Something's changed in you. Something's different. You get angry, but you apologize right away. Or you don't hold a grudge like you used to. Others start to ask questions and want to know what is going on. So it makes your testimony a lot easier to give to someone because the only word you have to say, you know what, is Jesus. When you speak the name of Jesus, it may be difficult for other people to grasp. But when your actions and you're actually living it and you're in relationship with God, it makes your actions different. People are witnessing, and eventually they'll be here. We have enough confidence to stay humble and let God get the glory. Meaning, we're not trying to sit here and say we're the ones that are changing our lives. We're allowing God's plan to say, hey, you know what? God is revamping me into something new, something for him, and I'm going to start living in his purpose. Our plans start to fall into his purpose. Sometimes our plans are going to work out great because that means that God allowed it to happen, but others, meaning God's going to take you a different way from what you had an idea of what's going on for your life. If we don't have that sturdy foundation of coming back to the Father, then we're never going to be able to truly allow or find the plans for our lives. Our purpose in life is going to be so hidden from us that we're not going to be able to see it. Now, I started with the prodigal son. The father was so happy that his son came home, that he was lost, that he came back to him and said, hey, I once was lost. My son was lost, but now he is found. Let's celebrate. See, God is trying to celebrate every victory in your life with you. From the moment of you coming into the church and being in your negative state, or maybe you just never really, you're not in a bad spot. You just never really acknowledge Christ. But God has been waiting for you to say, hey, you are my Lord. I am here to follow your plans for my life, not my own plans for life. You know better than I do. You created me for something, and I'm here to do what you want. I'm going to tell you something. Michael says this. I quote him a lot because you know what? He's been one of my best mentors. He says this. He says, my worst day as a Christian is still better than my best day out in the world. And I'm going to tell you why I say that's true. Because you'll have bad moments, not bad months or days. You'll have things that don't go right, but you'll be able to be okay with them not going right. Yeah, you may throw a little tantrum about it, but by then, it's already over. It's already worked itself out. You see, we are here on earth because God has allowed us to be. And I can tell you, there's a lot of people in LA right now that wishes that they would have called out to the Lord before all of this, these fires. It wasn't in their plans to have to move out of their homes. It wasn't in their plans to have to lose their sense of self. And I would hate to say that this is an act of God saying, hey, wake up and come back to me. But if we're not going to deliver hope to these people and say, Father God, we need to turn to you right now. We need to understand that our lives are but a vapor here. And how are we going to spend them? Hopefully we could say, you know what, God, I'm doing my best to follow your plan for my life, not my own. So as we start to move into 2025, just like the lost son, he went off on his own agenda thinking he had it all figured out. But when all the fun had ended, nothing had nothing left, he was able to return to the Father and was greeted with open arms and celebrated because his son was lost and now he is home. So our Father in heaven will rejoice when we come to him when we are troubled and in need of some tender love and care. He's going to rejoice. Whether we're trying to lose weight this year, whether we're trying to get that new job or position, or we're trying to graduate college, or we're trying to get that new home, get that new car, get whatever it is in our life, or maybe even just get our lives back together. God will rejoice because you're allowing him to be your guide. You're allowing him to be your foundation. You're allowing him to be in relationship with you. And not only that, he'll rejoice with you because you're bringing others with you. And that's something that in my 7 years, almost eight, of being a Christian and following Jesus Christ, I've understood that, you know what? We were created for his purpose. Everything we have, want, and desire to change should include him. God should be included in our homes, plans, and everyday life. When we seek a life with God, we can learn from our failures and try again. We can understand that we are never alone, and we can overcome anything that stands before us. See, I'm going to close with, I don't know what state you're in. You know, we seem to be a church family, and we mention prayer requests and bringing family along and who our plans are, what we've done in our past. But if you're new to your walk and you're still hanging on to that past, forgive yourself for it. Forgive yourself for it. Because you're already redeemed in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're starting 2025 off and you've already made that resolution and failed, guess what? The year's not over. You can start it again. But include Christ this time. Include his guidance and his blessing. And maybe you just haven't found your way back to the Father yet. You're still in the pig pit and you're wanting to know, what's my next move? Where can I go? I'm going to tell you, there's a Father that's waiting with his arms wide open, ready to give you a big old hug and put that cloak on you and ready to have that feast just for you to say, I am here, I am yours, I am back. So what do we do? See, the choice is on you guys. Are you guys going to start to follow God's plan for your life? Or are you going to be like the prodigal son and wait for something drastic to happen before you realize that God has something planned for you already? Jeremiah 29:11 says it straightforward. God has the plans for you. And he's not going to let you fail. He's not trying to hurt you. It may not be what we want. It may not be that what we're planning for our lives, but God has something greater for you. This moment, as I ask you, I'm going to have you guys stand. I'm going to have you guys raise your hands. And I want to take a brief moment of silence. And I'm going to say this right now. The brief moment of silence is going to be for you guys to really reach down, deep down. Really reach deep down into your hearts and say, In what area do I need to invite God in? what area in my life is actually not as great as I make it out to be. And if it's okay to say my whole life needs to be more in tune with Jesus. It's okay. It's okay to say that, you know what, I need to express God more in my job. I'm living a double life. It's okay to say, you know what, my home life is not as great as it should be. God is not seeking perfection. He's seeking effort and desire. In 2025, I'm going to pray this right now for you guys. I'm going to pray for this church, for you guys, each and every one of you, because each and every one of you are the church. My prayer for you is that God reveal His plans for you this evening. And if it's not this evening, I pray that He does it shortly, in the near future. That you can stop playing that tug of war. What is my plan for this life? God, what do you have in store for me? Is it jumping out and leaping boldly into a new ministry? Is it taking that first step and accepting Him as your Lord and Savior? Or is it accepting that new job that's been on your mind? I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God reveal what He has in store for you. Right, Father God, I just want to say thank you for today. Thank you for using this message in a powerful way. Heavenly Father, I believe that it's touched hearts because you are here after everyone's hearts. It is your plans, Father God, that are going to guide us through the future. God, we all have these prodigal moments, Heavenly Father God, but God, you have forgiven us for them. You have brought us back to life for them by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, today, right now, Heavenly Father God, as the new year has just kicked off, I pray that this year be a year of boldness, Heavenly Father God, for each and every one of these people. That they are courageous enough to say, I am going to live a life after you. I'm going to allow you to guide my life. God, I pray over the church, Heavenly Father God, that they can see that you are not here to hurt them, Heavenly Father God. You are not here to tell them no every single time. But you're here to guide them in the ways that they are going to be able to succeed in the plans that they want, Lord. Your word says, just mention to me what you want in prayer, and I will give it to you. But God, you also say in your word that you have the plans for our lives already. God, we belong to you more often than not, Heavenly Father God, because you created us. Lord, I pray a prayer of forgiveness for each and every one of us, Heavenly Father God, when we just forget to say, Jesus, guide me along this path, along this journey. God, I just want to say thank you for interrupting my plans and making them yours, Heavenly Father God. Because God, I would not be standing here today. I solely believe that I would not be standing here in front of this church today giving your message, Lord. So thank you for allowing me to speak to your people today, Heavenly Father God. And I continue to pray over them, Heavenly Father God. Because this year, Heavenly Father God, they will, in your name, find purpose. Maybe it's your first time. If it's your first time here and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, follow me in this prayer. Dear Father, I come before you broken and as a sinner. I ask for forgiveness right now. I acknowledge that my life without you cannot go on. I believe that you died on the cross for for my sins and rose 3 days later and ascended into heaven. From this faithful day forward, I ask that you come into my heart so I can live a life after you under your guidance. If you prayed that prayer in earnest, go ahead and raise your hand. For the rest of us, God, thank you for salvation in this building, Lord. For the rest of us, I pray, Heavenly Father God, that they can recommit every aspect to you, Heavenly Father God, today. From this day forward, that we will not allow our failures and inefficiency to determine of who we are, Heavenly Father God, but we will trust that we can get back up, seek you out, and you will guide us the rest of the way. Be with our weak, Heavenly Father God, as some of us go to work and get back to school, Heavenly Father God. Keep us protected. Prepare our hearts that we can find a place in your pew next Sunday, Lord. Love you. Praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we say, amen.